We are continuing Chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. The next few days were some of Harry's worst at Hogwarts. The closest he had ever come to feeling like this had been during those months in his second year when a large part of the school had suspected him of attacking his fellow students. But Ron had been on his side then. He thought he could have coped with the rest of the school's behavior if he could just have had Ron back as a friend, but he wasn't going to try to persuade Ron to talk to him if Ron didn't want to. Nonetheless, it was lonely, with dislike pouring in on him from all sides. He could understand the Hufflepuffs' attitude, even if he didn't like it. They had their own champion to support. He expected nothing less than vicious insults from the Slytherins. He was highly unpopular there, and always had been, because he had helped Gryffindor beat them so often, both at Quidditch and at the Inter-House Championship. But he had hoped the Ravenclaws might have found it in their hearts to support him as much as Cedric. He was wrong, however. Most Ravenclaws seemed to think that he had been desperate to earn himself a bit more fame by tricking the goblet, into accepting his name. Then there was the fact that Cedric looked the part of a champion so much more than he did. Exceptionally handsome, with his straight nose, dark hair, and gray eyes. It was hard to say who was more receiving more admiration these days, Cedric or Victor Crumb. Harry actually saw the same sixth-year girls who had been so keen to get Crumb's autograph begging Cedric to sign their school bags. Is that what they're calling them nowadays? One lunchtime.
I think that's what they call his school bag.
Oh, yes. Meanwhile, there was no reply from Sirius. Hedwig was refusing to come anywhere near him.
There should be a pencil case.
Professor Trelawney was predicting his death with even more certainty than usual, and he did so badly at summoning charms that in Professor Flitwick's class that he was given extra homework, the only person to get away, any apart from Neville. "It's not really that difficult, Harry," Hermione tried to reassure him as they left Flitwick's class. She'd been making objects zoom across the room to her for all lesson, as though she were some sort of weird magnet for board dusters, waste paper baskets, and lunoscopes. "You just weren't concentrating properly." "I wonder why that was," said Harry darkly, as Cedric Diggory walked past, surrounded by a large group of simpering girls, all of whom looked at Harry as though he were a particularly large, blast-ended scroot. See, this is the moment when Harry should turn to the dark side. Just, like, fuck them all.
Just read.
"Still, never mind, eh? Double potions to look forward to this afternoon." Double potions. It was always a horrible experience. But these days, it was nothing short of torture. Yeah. Melodramatic much?
Just fucking read.
"Being shut in a dungeon for an hour and a half with Snape and the Slytherins." Nope. "All of whom..."
It's gonna happen if
you're not. "...who seemed to punish Harry as much as possible for daring to become school champion. Was about to be the most unpleasant thing Harry could imagine. He had already struggled through one Friday's worth with Hermione sitting next to him intoning, "Ignore them, ignore them, ignore them," under her breath. And he couldn't see why today would be any better. When he and Hermione arrived at Snape's dungeon after lunch, they found the Slytherins waiting outside, each and every one of them wearing a large badge on the front of his or her robes. For one wild moment, Harry thought they were SPEW badges, and then he saw they all bore the same message in luminous red letters that burnt brightly in the dimly lit underground passage. "Support Cedric Diggory, the real Hogwarts champion." "Like them, Potter?" Malfoy said loudly as Harry approached. "And this isn't all they do, look." He pressed his badge into his chest, and the message upon it vanished, to be replaced by another one, which glowed green. "Potter stinks." The Slytherins howled with laughter. Each one of them pressed their badges too, until the message, "Potter stinks," was shining brightly around Harry. He felt the heat rise in his face and neck. "Oh, very funny," Hermione said sarcastically to Pansy Parkinson and her gang of Slytherin girls, who were laughing harder than anyone. "Real witty." Ron was standing against the wall with Dean and Seamus. He wasn't laughing, but he wasn't sticking up for Harry either. "Want one, Granger?" said Malfoy, holding out a badge to Hermione. "I've got loads. But don't touch my hand now. I've just washed it, you see. I don't want a mudblood sliming it up." Some of the anger Harry had been feeling for days and days seemed to burst through a dam in his chest. He had reached for his wand before he'd thought what he was doing. People all around them scrambled out of the way, backing down the corridor. "Harry," said Hermione warningly. "Go on then, Potter," Malfoy said quietly, drawing out his own wand. "Moody's not here to look after you now. Do it if you've got the guts." For a split second, they looked into each other's eyes, and then exactly the same moment, they both acted. "Fernunculus!" Harry yelled. "Densfungo!" screamed Malfoy.
Where's that one?
Densago. Densogeo or something.
Densogio.
Mm-hmm.
Densogio.
There you go.
I would say.
Jets of light shot from both wands, hit each other in midair, and ricocheted off at angles. Harry's hit Goyle in the face, and Malfoy's hit Hermione. Goyle bellowed and put up his hands to his nose, where great ugly boils were springing up. Hermione, whimpering in panic, was clutching her mouth. Ron had hurried forward to see what was wrong with her. Harry turned and saw Ron dragging Hermione's hands away from her face. It wasn't a pretty sight. Hermione's front teeth, already larger than average, were now growing at an alarming rate. She was looking more and more like a beaver as her teeth elongated, past her bottom lip, toward her chin. Panic-stricken, she felt them and let out a terrified cry. "And what is this all about?" a soft, deadly voice said. Snape had arrived. The Slytherins clamored to give their explanations. Snape pointed a long finger at Malfoy and said, "Explain." "Potter attacked me, sir." "We hit each other at the same time," Harry shouted. "And he hit Goyle. Look." Snape examined Goyle, whose face now resembled something that would have been at home in a book of poisonous fungi. "Hospital wing, Goyle," said Snape calmly. "Malfoy got Hermione," Ron said. "Look." He forced Hermione to show Snape her teeth. She was doing her best to hide them with her hands, though this was difficult as they had now grown past her collar. Pansy Parkinson and the other Slytherin girls were doubling up with silent giggles, pointing at Hermione from behind Snape's back. Snape looked coldly at Hermione and then said, "I see no difference." Hermione let out a whimper. "Man, Snape's such a dick."
Dude, seriously, like, why is he like that?
It's a child, you know?
No, especially, like, he was, like, tortured.
Right.
So you'd think he'd have more empathy.
Right.
Such a bastard. Go ahead.
Her eyes filled with tears, she turned on her heel and ran all the way up the corridor, out of sight. It was lucky, perhaps, that both Harry and Ron had started shouting at Snape at the same time. It was lucky their voices echoed so much in the stone corridor. From the confused din, it was impossible for him to hear exactly what they were calling him. He got the gist, however. "Let's see," he said in his silkiest voice. 50 points from Gryffindor, and a detention each for Potter and Weasley. Now get inside, or it'll be a week's worth of detentions." Harry's ears were ringing. The injustice of it made him want to curse Snape into 1,000 slimy pieces. He passed Snape, walked with Ron into the back of the dungeon, and slammed his bag down on the table. This is the point where you go to the headmaster. You know.
No.
Anyways.
Stop doing that. It's really annoying to me.
Ron was shaking with anger, too. For a moment, it felt as though everything were back to normal between them. But then Ron turned and sat down with Dean and Seamus instead, leaving Harry alone at his table. On the other side of the dungeon, Malfoy turned his back on Snape and pressed his badge, smirking. "Potter stinks," flashed through the room once more. Harry sat there staring at Snape as the lesson began, picturing horrible things happening to him. If only he knew how to do the Cruciatus curse, he'd have Snape flat on his back like that spider, jerking and twitching. "Antidotes," said Snape, looking around at them all, his cold black eyes glittering unpleasantly. "You should all have prepared your recipes now. I want you to brew them carefully, and then we'll be selecting someone on whom to test one. Snape's eyes met Harry's, and Harry knew it was coming. Snape was going to poison him. Harry imagined picking up his cauldron, sprinting into the front of the class, and bring it down on Snape's greasy head. And then there was a knock on the dungeon door. It was Colin Creevy. He edged into the room, beaming at Harry. He walked up to Snape's desk in front of the room. "Yes," said Snape curtly. "Please, sir, I'm supposed to take Harry Potter upstairs."
What the hell is that voice?
It's Colin Creevy.
Okay, sorry.
He's this little tiny boy.
He is.
Snape stared down at the crooked nose of Colin, whose smile faded from his eager face. "Potter has another hour of potions to complete," said Snape coldly. "He will come upstairs when this class is finished." Colin went pink. "Sir, Mr. Bagman wants him," he said nervously. "All the champions have got to go. I think they want to take photographs." Harry would have given anything he owned to have stopped Colin saying those last few words. He chanced half a glance at Ron, but Ron was staring determinedly at the ceiling. "Very well, Potter. Leave your things here. I want you back down here later to test your antidote."
"Please, sir, he's got to take his things with him," squeaked Colin. "All the champions."
"Very well," said Snape. "Potter, take your bag and get out of my sight." Harry swung his bag over his shoulder, got up, and headed for the door. As he walked through the Slytherin desks, Potter stinks flashed at him from every direction.
"It's amazing, isn't it, Harry?"
said Colin, starting to speak the moment Harry had closed the dungeon door behind him.
"Isn't it, though, you being champion?"
"Yeah, really amazing," said Harry heavily as they set off toward the steps into the entrance hall. "What do they want photos for?" said Colin.
"The Deadly Planet, I think. Prophet."
"Planet is the Superman one." "Great," said Harry Dally. "Exactly what I need. More publicity."
"Good luck," said Colin when they had reached the right room. Harry knocked on the door and entered.
Should we stop?
A little more.
I think we should stop.
A little more because I have to go soon.
That's exactly why we should stop.
Just a little bit. I haven't finished my tea.
But I don't think there's a, the next, because we finished the scene, and then there's a long scene following.
You can stop in the middle of the long scene. Please, sir.
He was in a fairly small classroom. Most of the desks had been pushed away to the back of the room, leaving a large space in the end, a large space in the middle. Three of them, however, had been placed end to end in front of the blackboard and covered with length of velvet. Five chairs had been set behind the velvet-covered desks, and Ludo Bagman was sitting in one of them, talking to a witch Harry had never seen before, who was wearing magenta robes. Victor Crumb was standing moodily in a corner as usual and not talking to anybody. Cedric and Fleur were in conversation. Fleur looked a good deal happier than Harry had ever seen her. She kept throwing back her head so that her long, silvery hair caught the light. A paunchy man, holding the black camera that was smoking slightly, was watching Fleur out of the corner of his eye. That's creepy. Mm. Bagman suddenly spotted Harry, got up quickly, and bounded forward. "Ah, here he is, champion number 4. If you come, Harry, if you come. In you come, Harry, in you come. Nothing to worry about, it's just the wand weighing ceremony. The rest of the judges will be here in a moment." "Wand weighing?" Harry repeated nervously. "We have to check that your wands are fully functional, no problems, as you know, is the most important tools in the task ahead," said Bagman. "The expert's upstairs now with Dumbledore. And then there's going to be a little photo shoot. This is Rita Skeeter," he added, gesturing toward the witch in the magenta robes. "She's doing a small piece on the tournament for the Daily Prophet."
"Maybe not that small, Ludo," said Rita Skeeter.
"I don't think she has that
no.
kind of
voice. What does she have?"
"Well, maybe not that small, Ludo.
Is she Texan?"
I kind of see her.
"Maybe not that small, Ludo," said Rita Skeeter, her eyes on Harry. Her hair was set in an elaborate and curiously rigid curls that contrasted oddly with her heavily jawed face. She wore jeweled spectacles. The thick fingernails clutching her crocodile skin bag ended in 2-inch nails. The thick fingers clutching her crocodile skin handbag ended in 2-inch nails painted crimson.
"I wonder if we could have a little word with Harry before we start," she said to Bagman, still gazing fixedly at Harry. The youngest champion, you know, to add a bit of color. Certainly, said Bagman. That is, if Harry has no objection.
Said Harry.
Lovely, said Rita Skeeter. And in a second, her scarlet-taloned fingers had Harry's upper arm in a surprisingly strong grip, and she was steering him out of the room again, and opening a nearby door. We don't want to be in there with all that noise, she said. Let's see. Ah, yes, this is nice and cozy.
It was a broom cupboard. Harry stared at her.
Come along, dear. That's right. Lovely, said Rita Skeeter, again perching herself precariously upon an upturned bucket, pushing Harry down on a cardboard box and closing the door, throwing them into darkness. Let's see now.
She unsnapped her crocodile skin handbag and pulled out a handful of candles, which she lit with a wave of her wand and magicked into midair so that she could see what they were doing.
You won't mind, Harry, if I use a quick quotes quill. It leaves me free to talk to you normally.
A what? Said Harry.
Rita Skeeter's smile widened. Harry counted 3 gold teeth.
She reached into her crocodile bag and drew out a long, acid-green quill and a roll of parchment, which she stretched out between them on a crate of Miss Scour's all-purpose magical mess removal. She put the tip of the green quill into her mouth, sucked it for a moment with apparent relish, then placed it upright on her parchment, where it stood balanced on its point, quivering slightly.
Testing. My name is Rita Skeeter, Daily Prophet Reporter.
Harry looked down at the quill. The moment Rita had spoken, the green quill had started to scribble, skidding across the parchment. Attractive blonde Rita Skeeter, 43, whose savage quill has punctured many inflated reputations.
Lovely, said Rita Skeeter yet again, and she ripped the top piece of parchment off, crumpled it up, and stuffed it into her handbag.
Now she leaned toward Harry and said,
So, Harry, what made you decide to enter the tournament?
Said Harry again, but he was distracted by the quill. Even though he wasn't speaking, it was dashing across the parchment, and in its wake he could make out a fresh sentence. An ugly scar, souvenir of a tragic past, disfigures the otherwise charming face of Harry Potter, whose eyes...
Ignore the quill, Harry, said Rita Skeeter firmly.
Reluctantly, Harry looked up at her instead.
Now, why did you decide to enter the tournament?
I didn't, said Harry. I don't know how my name got into the Goblet of Fire. I didn't put it there.
Rita Skeeter raised one heavily penciled eyebrow. Come on, Harry, there's no need to be scared of getting into trouble. We all know you shouldn't really have entered at all. Don't worry about that. Our readers love a rebel.
But I didn't enter, Harry repeated. I don't know who...
How do you feel about the tasks ahead? Said Rita Skeeter. Excited? Nervous?
I haven't really thought about it. Yeah, nervous, I suppose, said Harry. His insides squirmed uncomfortably as he spoke.
Champions have died in the past, haven't they? Said Rita Skeeter, briskly. Have you thought about that at all?
Well, they say it's going to be a lot safer this year, said Harry. The quill whizzed across the parchment between them, back and forth as though it were skating.
Of course, you've looked death in the face before, haven't you? Said Rita Skeeter, watching him closely. How would you say that's affected you?
Said Harry yet again.
Do you think that the trauma of your past might have made you keen to prove yourself? To live up to your name? Do you think that because you attempted to enter the Triwizard Tournament?
I didn't enter, said Harry, starting to feel irritated at all.
Can you remember your parents at all? Said Rita Skeeter, talking over him.
No, said Harry.
How do you think they'd feel if they knew you were competing in the Triwizard Tournament? Proud, worried, angry?
Harry was feeling really annoyed now. How on earth was he to know how his parents would feel if they were alive? He could feel Rita Skeeter watching him very intently. Frowning, he avoided her gaze and looked down at the words the quill had just written. Tears filled those startlingly green eyes as our conversation turns to the parents he can barely remember.
I have not got tears in my eyes, said Harry loudly.
Before Rita Skeeter could say a word, the door of the broom closet was pulled open. Harry looked around, blinking into the bright light. Albus Dumbledore stood there, looking down at both of them, squashed into the cupboard.
"Dumbledore!" cried Rita Skeeter with every appearance of delight, but Harry noticed that her quill and parchment had suddenly vanished from the box of magical mess remover, and Rita's clawed fingers were hastily snapping shut the clasp of her crocodile skin bag. "How are you?" she said, standing up and holding out one of her large, mannish hands to Dumbledore. "I hope you saw my piece over the summer about the International Confederations of Wizard Conference." "Enchantingly nasty," said Dumbledore, his eyes twinkling. His eyes always twinkle. It's like, what do they do? "I particularly enjoyed your description of me as an obsolete dingbat." Rita Skeeter didn't look remotely abashed. "I was just making the point that some of your ideas are a little old-fashioned, Dumbledore, and that many wizards in the street." "I'll be delighted to hear the reasoning behind the rudeness, Rita," said Dumbledore with a courteous bow and smile, "but I'm afraid we'll have to discuss that matter later. The weighing of the wands is about to start, and it cannot take place if one of our champions is hidden in the broom closet." Good place to stop. And that's where we're going to stop for now. And we'll hopefully finish chapter 18 next time. My, like, southern accent. You like it?
It's awesome.
Pretty terrible. How's that sweet tea?
I don't feel good.
You don't feel good? My kitty, should I take a night to you here? And then? I love you so much, kitten. Listening to this later, I want you to sleep well. Have sweet dreams.